Okay, so this afternoon I'd like to continue our journey along the path to freedom by moving into the next part of the Satipatthana Sutta, the four establishments of mindfulness. The second establishment being mindfulness of feeling tone or Vedana. But first, just a brief recap. So far we've been practicing mostly with the first establishment, which is mindfulness of the body. And yesterday I briefly mentioned how one of the benefits of practicing mindfulness of the body is that staying present with our physical sensations can help reduce the tendency to get lost in our mental reactivity, that very common tendency to spin out in mental proliferation, or papancha, to use the Pali term. So this wheel diagram here is really an illustration of how that, the mechanics of that process happen. And most of us, unless we have some mindfulness training, tend to get caught in afflictive mind states pretty quickly and easily. The Buddha, though, through thoroughly and deeply investigating his own experience, came to see exactly how that process of proliferation happens. I think of him as a master of deconstruction. So we can see when we deconstruct our experience in the way he laid out, just how each of the component parts is coming together. And when we can see them separately, it's easier to not get so caught up in the whole show. In fact, one translation of the word vipassana literally means seeing distinctly or seeing separately. In other words, seeing how all these different aspects of experience come together to create a sense of me. This is who I am. This is how the world is. Which, if there's no mindfulness, we take very personally and very seriously. And to the extent that we solidify that experience, to that extent, we create suffering for ourselves, and often for others too. But with this training in the four establishments of mindfulness, we can start to separate out what's happening in the body, what's happening in the mind, and our reactions to those experiences, how we're relating to our experience, or what's the attitude in the mind about it. And then from that clear seeing, we have a better chance of releasing the afflictive mind states and strengthening the beneficial ones. So this afternoon, after spending all of yesterday and this morning exploring the first establishment, mindfulness of the body, I'd like to move on now to the second one, which is feeling tone or Vedana, to use the Pali word. And this word, feeling tone, is a technical term, and it refers to just that bare, immediate recognition of our experiences as being either pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Neither unpleasant nor pleasant. And if or when we're able to stay with just that bare knowing of pleasant, unpleasant, or neither, before it compounds into some kind of liking, disliking, or spacing out, we can save ourselves a huge amount of trouble. So again, this is another arena we can bring the practice of bare awareness to, just knowing what's happening very directly and immediately without adding our usual reactivity to it. Because our usual reactivity is usually rooted in one or more of the three core afflictive energies that I mentioned briefly the other night, traditionally known as greed, hatred, and delusion, or sometimes compulsion, aversion, and delusion. And when we're in the grip of those energies, that's when we tend to get pulled out into proliferation and to solidifying the whole afflictive experience. So the problem with proliferation is that it strengthens those neuronal pathways that lead to afflictive mental states and suffering. And as an antidote to that, the Buddha kept inviting us to stay with just the immediacy of our sense-based experience. So at any moment in time, any nanosecond, there's only one of six things happening. A sight, a sound, a smell, a taste, a physical sensation, or some form of mental activity. That's it. That's all that's going on moment to moment. And yet with each one of those sense contacts, a fairly primitive part of the brain is automatically registering that contact as pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. This is just a basic fact of our biology. Having been born into a human body, this is part of our basic biology as a human being. And it's actually a part of our reptilian brain. So it's not particularly highly functioning. So we can't stop feeling tone from happening. That's not what we're trying to do here. What we are trying to bring awareness to is those habitual reactions that tend to come so automatically to that basic stimulus. So pretty obvious, but I'm going to spell it out anyway. If something registers as pleasant, what's the default reaction? Wanting more, holding on, grasping, clinging, having it fuel craving. And then the opposite, if something's unpleasant, pushing away, aversion, resistance, get rid of it, get it away from me. And if it's neither pleasant nor unpleasant, if it's neutral, what tends to happen? We ignore it, we don't even recognize it, we space out, or it pushes us into looking for some kind of stimulation because neutral is, to the primitive mind, boring. So, this quality of feeling tone plays a very important role in constructing our reactivity when there's no mindfulness. And if we're not aware of what's going on, we end up in proliferation, spinning out on the outer rim of the wheel. And often it happens so fast that we don't even recognize until eventually we notice that ruminating, that thought loop sometimes going on for hours on end. And that ruminating and proliferating is by definition suffering. So, you might be able to guess by now that the instructions in this first part of the Satipatthana Sutta in relation to feeling tone are very similar to some of the instructions for the body and the mind. When feeling a pleasant feeling, one knows, I feel a pleasant feeling. When feeling an unpleasant feeling, one knows, I feel an unpleasant feeling. When feeling a neutral feeling, one knows, I feel a neutral feeling. Very simple. There's no movement into the next layer of reactivity. And that word feeling in that translation is one I usually stay away from because in English the word feeling also can mean emotion. But feeling tone is not emotion. It's the driver of emotion, but it's much simpler. It's that very first bare recognition of pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Usually we go so automatically into liking, disliking, and so on that we don't recognize. But so being able to separate out the feeling tone beneath the emotion is a powerful skill. The other thing that can be complicated here is that it's not a nice, tidy, linear, single-strand experience. So if I have if I recognize an unpleasant tingling in the tips of my fingers, I might recognize, unpleasant tingling. Is that tremoring? I heard that tremors in the hands is one of the first signs of Parkinson's disease. My grandmother had Parkinson's disease. I wonder what the next step is. I heard that if you play an instrument, that's supposed to be really good for the mind. But I wonder if different instruments have different effects. Like, would the saxophone be better than the clarinet? And, you know, then we're off in proliferation. So in that example, there's an unpleasant sensation in the fingers. Then there's an unpleasant thought, which probably stimulates more unpleasant shakiness in the body, which then in turn sets off an unpleasant chain reaction. And so there's this multiple feedback loop going on. And it all started with just that basic recognition of slight tremoring in the fingers and the unpleasant feeling tone of that. So that's a fairly simple and silly made-up example, but I'm sure you get the idea in your own experience. So Vedana is really the building block of all of our reactivity. And for me, it was pretty humbling when I really started to take that in. Because I used to have this idea that I was a sophisticated human being with sophisticated tastes and sophisticated responses. And then I realized I'm just being led around by pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Everything that I do, if I look at it carefully enough, is either an attempt to get away from unpleasant or an attempt to get towards pleasant, or if it's neutral, to go in search of pleasant to get away from the boredom. Anybody disagree with that? It's pretty amazing when we really pay attention just how, on one level, what primitive organisms we actually are, but then we dress it up with all of this kind of intellectual sophistication. So one of the reasons we want to really pay attention to this is, as you saw, pleasant without mindfulness leads to greed. Unpleasant without mindfulness leads to aversion. Neutral without mindfulness leads to delusion or ignorance, or conditions those things. Greed, hatred, and delusion are those three core afflictive energies that the Buddha recognized. And he was also very clear that these are not our innate condition. Unlike some spiritual traditions, these afflictive energies are seen as, quote, adventitious defilements. And adventitious means not inherent. They're visiting. They arise due to causes and conditions, but they're not fundamentally who we are. So learning how to stop those pathways towards greed, hatred, and delusion getting stronger is really a key part of this freedom here and now theme that we're exploring. Because neurons that fire together wire together. So each time we're not aware of that movement into some kind of afflictive state, we have unconsciously strengthened that pattern. Conversely, each time we recognize it and can unhook from it, we've de-nurtured that pattern and made it less likely to happen again. So this is really what we're doing here, is training in neuronal plasticity, literally shaping the heart-mind, strengthening the skillful qualities, releasing the unskillful qualities. Just a little caveat, sometimes when people hear talk about pleasant feeling tone and not conditioning greed, they misunderstand that as being, I'm not supposed to experience anything pleasant because that's going to automatically lead to greed, so I'll just try and avoid it. Or it's somehow sinful. You know, we can bring our Judeo-Christian heritage, some of us have, and overlay that into our Dharma practice. This is not about not appreciating pleasant feeling tone when it arises. Even if we wanted to, we couldn't stop it from happening. It's about noticing if there's that movement, as I said the other day, from just enjoying the food to, can I take seconds or thirds? How many more people are in line? Is there going to be enough? I wonder what's the recipe. That's when we've moved from simple pleasant feeling tone into along the line towards greed. So again, it's not about not enjoying pleasant experiences, but noticing if there's moving into clinging, craving, grasping. So that's what we're invited to explore in this next practice session. Again, and for the last time until towards the end of the retreat, I'd like to do this relationally because it just makes it so much more alive for people. Having said that, if you've done this Vedana exercise, this Vedana contemplation before, then you're welcome to do some other kind of practice. In a few moments, we'll move into standing again just to stretch. If you have not done this exploration in dyads of feeling tone, I just would encourage you to give it a go, because it's of everything that I'm offering over these 9 days. For me, this is the most significant practice. It's the most crucial part of understanding how we can free ourselves. So having said that, it's still your choice. If you'd like to work with it, I just invite you now to, again, slowly and mindfully, come to a standing position. And as you do that, when you come to standing, notice if there's any preference, if there's any subtle pleasantness of standing as opposed to sitting. Even in this moment, noticing the feeling tone in this new position.